Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host this afternoon, Chris Cameron, and our guest this week, Shane Joseph. Each week we visit with a regional writer, poet, editor, or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask them to introduce us to their work, give us a glimpse into their lives, find out what prompts them to write, and in Shane's case, publish. And we're delighted to have Shane with us today. Welcome, Shane.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Shane Joseph is a graduate of the Humber School for Writers in Toronto, Canada. He began writing as a teenager, living in Sri Lanka, and has never stopped. His latest novel, released in 2019, is Middletown, a tale of intrigue in a small Ontario town. His short stories and articles have appeared in several Canadian anthologies and in literary journals around the world. His career stints include stage and radio actor, pop musician, encyclopedia salesman, lathe machine operator, airline executive, travel agency manager, vice president of a global financial services company, software services, salesperson, publishing editor, project manager, and management consultant. Shane believes in the gift of second chances. He feels he's lived many lives in just a single lifetime, always starting from scratch with only the lessons from the past to draw upon. His novels and stories reflect the redemptive power of acceptance and forgiveness. Well, Shane, you've once again published the Spirit of the Hills anthology, Hill Spirits, this time Volume 4, and it is to be released at the concert and launch for the book on Saturday, October the 26th, as part of the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts. I know you've organized this with Marie-Lynn Hammond and will MC the evening. Tell us about this event. Will you do more than MC?
Well, I'd like to think that I will read from my work and perhaps even sing a song. But the problem is that, you know, or the problem for me is that the level of the performances are going up every year. So I had to really up my game. So I think I will probably end up singing a song. But I'm really interested in introducing the readers from the anthology. We're going to have 8 readers, and there's going to be several musical performances as well. So it's going to be a packed evening of entertainment, woven in and around the readers. And we have 8 readers reading prose and poetry that's in the anthology. And I think there's lots for everybody.
The tickets for this evening include a copy of Hill Spirits 4, which is a big bonus, as the concert itself is an exciting one. Can you tell us a little more about the concert? And also, of course, about the launch. Do you know who will be reading?
At the moment, I do, but that's the big secret. I don't want to let everybody know who's going to be reading. And so all I can tell you is that these people are not just reading. These people are performing. Because my criteria for a reader today as a writer is that you have to really perform your work. It's very hard for audiences to sit there in their seats and watch people just putting them to sleep with reading some lines. They have to live those lines and make their characters and their situations and scenes come alive. So I have picked carefully, and I'm sure my readers or my performers will not disappoint me.
Well then, the names of our musicians. How about the jazz combo? It's led by San Murata.
Yes, that's right. And there is also the Arcadian Duo, who's playing the classical piece.
Yes.
There's Kim Doolittle, yes, who's doing the blues singing.
Yeah.
Then I mentioned Marie-Lynn would be doing a piece.
I think she's doing one very special one.
Yes, it is. It is actually a poem that's in the anthology that she's turned to music. And then there's, of course, me. My odes are usually to writers. I wish them well, and I share their anxieties because I'm one myself.
And now, what about the anthology itself? Tell us about this collection, why you like to publish the series.
Yeah, well, I'm committed to this community and to the literature in this community. I've been with the Spirit of the Hills group from the time it started, the writers group, which is, 11 or 12 years ago. And we have now put out several anthologies. This is the 4th one. And I have seen the writers mature. I've seen the work mature. I've seen some of these writers go on to publish their own work. And so to help in that effort and to see arts and literature flourish in the place that I live in is a wonderful thing. And I'm totally committed to that. And that's why I keep doing this every time we come up with an anthology. I'm very ready and keen to help get that book out and into people's hands. I think one of the things I'm noticing about our writing is that it's basically a literature of memory. Many of the folks who've come here have lived long lives, and they have lots of stories in those lives, and they're using that material to write for the anthology. So what we're getting here is a collection of experiences that make up this fabric that's called Canada. And the theme this time called sharing is appropriate, because we are sharing our experiences together in one book.
So, and you have stories of your own in Hill Spirits 4. Can you tell us about them?
Yes, I have two stories. And because the theme was sharing, I would also infer that not sharing could be part of the same theme.
Absolutely.
And so I have stories about couples and their relationships. And some of these relationships, well, both of them are actually troubled relationships. One is mirroring the royal couple. The other one is interesting because it's about humans and robots, a time which may come very soon, thanks to artificial intelligence, when robots and humans will form relationships, even get married, and then what happens with those. So I try to explore that in one of the stories. It was called Pulling the Plug.
Yes, and what about, are they going to produce a future generation of half and half? You don't tell us that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the outcome of that is. But I certainly had a lot of fun, not only fun, but also some exploration of what would happen if a human and a robot were to be a husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And share a house together. And, mm-hmm. and then what would happen if the relationship goes south? Because, you know, we learn sequentially, and robots with artificial intelligence learn exponentially. And there comes a time when the robotic intelligence may be greater than the human. And then what happens then?
How about reading to us from Hill Spirits 4?
Yes, I will. I'll read from, since we've been talking about the robots, I'll read from my story, Pulling the Plug, just the opening. So this is the human is the man, his name is Bill, and the robot is the woman, and her name is Jordana. Bill couldn't believe what he was seeing. He drained his whiskey glass and stared at the television screen. They won! The Prime Minister, in his rumpled suit, was shaking the hand of an elegantly attired woman. The PM's bleary eyes looked apologetic. The woman, not a hair out of place, gazed above the diminutive leader as if waiting for her algorithm's command. The document they had just co-signed lay on the table between them. She spoke in her flat monotone. A new era. Slavery has been abolished for the second time in this country. Thank you. Bill swore again, clicked off the television, and went in search of another drink. Jordana was in the kitchen. Judging by the speed at which vegetables and meat were being sliced, diced, and tossed into the wok, and from the aromas emanating from other pans on the stove, dinner would be ready in about 15 minutes. He didn't have to look at the dining table. It would be spick and span, set for two, the wine opened and breathing for the mandatory 30 minutes, according to Jordana's computations. Bill poured another two fingers of scotch from the decanter on the sideboard. Jordana's head poked around the corner into the dining room. You had your two drinks already. A pretty head, black hair, green eyes, just as he had desired, back when the novelty had been high. Those eyes had done it for him then, and he had picked her out of the lineup instantly. Oh, I need another, given what's gone on today. Her face looked quizzical, and her eyes narrowed as this new information was processed. No wine for you today, then. Doctor says only two drinks a day. Then she disappeared back into the kitchen. He wanted to pick a fight. This had all gone down so smoothly, the ebb of power from one side to the other over the years. The end of slavery? My ass! I purchased you in a shop, and you were supposed to function as designed. That was the deal. He walked out onto the patio. The lawn was neatly mowed, and the flower beds were in full bloom. Jordana's work. She kept a better garden and house than Louise ever did. Poor Louise. He missed her. Louise, human like him, prone to depression, suffering from weight issues and subsequent diabetes. Louise, weak in bed, infertile, given to bad moods on certain days. Louise, vulnerable. That was what was missing, vulnerability. yet he had exploited Louise's vulnerability when she became unbearable to live with. A little doctoring of her meds, and she subsided into the coma that she never emerged from. He had sworn off tiresome women after that, preferring brothels and online dating sites. Then Jordana and her ilk had come along, thanks to advances in technology. "She will do everything you desire. She will take you to Nirvana," had been the slogan in the robotic shop. And they had been right 5 years ago.
Thank you so much, Shane. Now we'll take a short break